Welcome. You are listening to the podcast of Transform Church Philly. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to church. My name is Pastor Bodie. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, thanks for joining us. If you're watching or listening to our podcast, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to listen. If you're watching this or listening to this on our new TC app or our media sites, come on, thanks for joining us today. Welcome to church, praying that you would experience God in a real, tangible way today that will bring hope and encouragement to your life. We are kicking off a brand new series today called Survival Guide. Come on, hashtag TC Survival Guide. And what we're going to be doing, we'll be journeying through one chapter of one book in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's been on my heart for a while now, probably since COVID began, to teach a series that shows us from the Word of God how to thrive in the world as it is now. Not in the world as we would want it to be or as we would dream it to be, a perfect environment, everything going well. No, in this world that is difficult, that is dangerous, that feels like evil and wickedness are on the rise, in this world where it's stressful and difficult to comprehend what's going on, I want to show from the Word of God, like what God's word says about this age, because the Bible is not only relevant, the Bible is incredibly prophetic. What I mean by that, it's amazing to see how this word that was written by men and women generations, millennia ago, is actually predictive and painting pictures of the world that we are currently in. And so instead of being scared, confused, anxious, or overly concerned about the future, about what's happening in current events, I want to show you from God's word what God says about the world we're in, what God prophesied, what God predicts, what the word of God foretells with the help of the Holy Spirit about the world, the era, the age that we are currently in. And not just that, I want to show you from this same word how to live in it so we can do more than survive. We can thrive, y'all. In fact, I'm reminded of one of my favorite TV shows in the last 10 years, the show Man versus Wild. Come on, somebody. The show about the man Bear Grylls. I love his name, Bear Grylls. That's like a man's name, man. The rough, tough. It's the name you'd give to somebody doing a show, Man versus Wild. And Bear Grylls is this Christian man. He is an ex-special forces soldier. And in this show, he gets dropped into all kinds of difficult, dangerous environments and situations, from the desert to the jungle, from the mountain to the valley, in oceans and rivers. And he's dropped in with not much equipment and just armed with what he knows and his experience. And he begins to navigate and show people how to survive in the wild with beasts and wild animals. And again, difficult circumstances. In fact, according to Grylls, the show's format is based around the idea that he's wanting to show people how to deal with difficulties presented to you, how to deal with unexpected, unwanted difficulties presented to you. He hopes to inspire people, man, that when we're facing difficult situations, that we can survive and we can go on to thrive as well. And in fact, in a sense, so the reason why I'm thinking about Bear Grylls and Man versus Wild right now, because in a sense, that's what this series is all about, wanting to, from the Word of God, show us how to deal with the difficulties that life, that this world is currently presenting us. How many know, Pastor? I would agree, Pastor, this world is difficult. This world is hard right now. All you have to do to acknowledge that, to recognize that, man, the things are happening in this world right now that are unbelievable, are unexpected. Here's the word, unprecedented. How many times have you heard that word in the last 1 year, right? How to deal with the difficulties, the life that this world currently presents us, how to thrive. Here's the thing. All you have to do is look at the news, right? And you see the bad news, you see. But in the middle of that bad news, I want to present to you some good news, some God news. And it's the hope that we have that God is still in control, that God has a plan, that Jesus is undefeated. Come on. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us to use us. God has a plan, a clear plan, a clear strategy for his children to thrive in this world as it is. So here's the thing. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. And in chapter 3, it's as though he supernaturally peered through a prophetic window that allowed him to see 2,000 years into the future, into the very time and age we're living in right now. I'm always blown away by not only how applicable the Word of God is, how much it relates to our lives, but man, how prophetic the Word of God is. The Word of God, there's passages and chapters that describe in detail, as it were, this world that we're living in right now. It's incredible how the Apostle Paul, if you look at the language used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he was able to, it feels as though he was watching CNN, come on, or MSNBC, and just recording what he saw and describing that to Timothy. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, and it's as though he was supernaturally peering through a prophetic window that allowed him to see 2,000 years into the future, into the very time we are living in right now. And what, here's the thing, and what Paul wrote to Timothy and to us by extension was specifically designed to inform us and him of what to expect in this world and to show us how we can overcome the evil that feels like it's running rampant, the wickedness that feels like it's on the rise. Here's the thought, the sermon title for today, Survival Guide Part 1, Week 1. Don't be scared, just be prepared. I love it. Don't be scared, just be prepared. You know, I'm reminded in this moment of my high school days and my emotional state when I would approach a final. And I would have one or two feelings going into a final exam at the end of a semester. Either I would be scared out of my wits and concerned and anxious about the exam because I hadn't prepared for it. I hadn't studied. I hadn't done the work that the teachers told me to do. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I'm about to flunk this exam because I haven't done my bit. I haven't done my part. The exam was exposing me, was about to expose me to my parents as someone who wasn't doing his work. And I knew once my parents found out about that, being good Nigerian parents, come on, African parents, hashtag African parents, man, I will be in a world of trouble. Fear, because I wasn't prepared. Or on the flip side, in the seasons that I was actually doing my work and studying and preparing, you know, and doing what my teachers asked me to do, man, I would walk into those finals, those exams, like, hey, with a smile on my face, and my friends would look at me and say, Bodhi, why are you so happy? Why are you smiling? We're about to take the calculus final. I said, well, I'm ready for it. I know. I got this. I'm ready. Man, it's amazing what preparation will do to your emotional outlook, to your confidence. Here's the thought, don't be scared. With everything happening around us, here's the sermon title, don't be scared, just be prepared. Here's what I mean. According to the Bible, for the last 2,000 years, humanity and God's church has been living in the midst of a biblical time frame that is technically called the last days. And now, all the signs of life happenings in our world point to the reality that we have come to the very last of the last days, to a time frame unlike any other that preceded us in history. Pastor, here you go, talking about end time events. Yes, it's important for us to be aware of what's happening so we can be prepared and so we can, man, figure out how God wants us to live, and so that we can live successfully. The fact is, and I want to say this to you as slow as I can, the fact is that the condition of the world that we are living in right now, come on, think about this world that we're in. Think about what you see. Think about what we hear on the news. Think about the pressure points that we are under right now. The fact is that the condition of the world that we're living in right now requires that we must know what God specifically has said about events in society, what the Bible says will happen, what the Bible says will be characteristic of the days that we are living in. And not just that, not just know what the Bible says about end time events, but we must also, from the same word of God, receive divine guidance, divine strategies on how to maneuver accurately in the midst of what the Bible calls a wicked and a perverse generation. God wanted, through the word of God, through the writings of people like the Apostle Paul, God wanted this generation to know about the dangerous times that would emerge in society in the last days and how to live in them. So we can do more than just survive, we can thrive. And that's what this series is really all about, teaching us to thrive, showing us what's possible, even under the most wicked and difficult environment that humanity maybe has ever seen. Here's the context. I want to show you this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But I want to show you, as we begin to dive into this chapter, it's important for us to understand the context, right? Context in studying the Word of God is everything. It opens our eyes to see what was really happening so we can discern the right application for our lives. And so here's the context of 2 Timothy chapter 2, written by the author was the Apostle Paul, and the audience was at least one-to-one was written to Timothy and the church in Ephesus. But it's important to note that this was a letter from death row. Come on. Paul wrote this, his last letter. This was the last piece of writing that Paul ever wrote. He wrote this from a Roman dungeon shortly before he was executed for his faith. In 2 Timothy, we have the last known words to flow from the Apostle Paul's pen. In a very real way, this epistle presents the Apostle Paul's last will and testament. And quite naturally, Paul doesn't devote much time or much space in this letter to doctrine or philosophy. He sticks to and he emphasizes his personal advice. He is pastoring Timothy on vital issues, on being courageous, on integrity, and most of all, most importantly, his advice on how to live in the future world. The primary object of this letter was to strengthen Timothy so that he could endure in the face of difficulty and opposition. Anybody feel that right now? I love this. This is such a relevant letter, portion of scripture for our lives today. The big idea of this 2 Timothy was to, or object of Paul's writing was to strengthen Timothy so that he would endure in the face of opposition and difficulty. But I want to dive in for the next few minutes, this topic that we have today, this thought. Don't be scared, just be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And I want to unpack, I want to do a little bit of word study today and then bring some real simple, quick application to our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to be in verse 1 today. It's one verse. Paul writes, but understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. Let me read that again. That's powerful. That is descriptive. How many feel like that's exactly what 2021 feels like? But understand this, in the last days, dangerous times. Come on, there's a danger. COVID. Come on, we're living through some life or death moments. Come on, and we're fighting an invisible enemy. We're in the midst of a global pandemic. Not to mention the wars and the famines and crime rate and all the darkness that is on the rise. It's years of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. How many are feeling this right now? How many pastors? Man, this is, how did Paul know? Like, how did Paul paint such a vivid picture of life in 2021, 2,000 years ago? So I want to break this down for a moment. I want to do a little bit of word study. Two words here, starting with, first of all, the word understand. Paul says, but understand this. Understand. The word understand is the Greek translation of the word gnosko. Somebody shout out. Come on, like we're in church. Gnosko. Which in this verse means to know something. To know something definitively. To know something emphatically. And with absolute certainty. Paul said, listen, this is exactly, you can bet your bottom dollar, this is exactly what is going to unfold. Paul begins to speak prophetically. He engages his prophetic gift. And the Holy Spirit pulls back the veil of time. And he begins to see into the future and begins to describe a world that looks exactly like 2021 does right now. But it's also important to know that the use of the word, this word gnosko, paints a picture of something that is so urgent that it must be known, it must be recognized, and it must be acknowledged. In other words, what the Holy Spirit was saying and is saying in this verse and in the passages to follow in chapter 3 should not be considered optional information for us to retain or not retain at our own discretion. Rather, what the Holy Spirit is communicating to us by using this word gnosko, understand this, the picture that the Holy Spirit is saying to Timothy and to us, that what I'm about to show you in the Word of God is required. If you're going to thrive, this is required. If you're going to live in victory, if you're going to overcome, you got to know and apply certain things, certain principles to your life. This is so important. It's almost as though the Holy Spirit is raising his voice. Come on, that's the picture, that's the feel, that's the mood of this word gnosko. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit is raising his voice to get our attention. In this verse, the Holy Spirit speaks loudly, authoritatively, and effectively because he wants us to fully grasp what he's about to say. His urgent desire is, listen to me, is that we will be prepared, not scared, not taken off guard when these last days events begin to happen, begin to take place. The world feels like it's getting darker and darker and darker. His goal is that we will be prepared. That's why he's showing us these things, why he's telling us these things. So we will be prepared and not scared. His urgent desire, the word gnosko is a word that carries a sense of urgency with it. Listen to me. It's like all the alarm bells are going off. And when he's communicating, this is important. The second word or phrase I wanted to unpack or break down for a second is the phrase that Paul uses as he continues. Is the phrase, two words, last days, the word last. Paul goes on to say in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come, and difficult days will be hard to bear. What does Paul exactly mean when he says last days? Last days. Pastor Bodie, I've heard about the last days so many times in so many different ways. I'm confused. I think this is something that a lot of Christ followers are confused about. But the Word of God is actually very clear about. Biblically, here's the thought. Biblically, the last days are defined as the messianic era, the time beginning with Christ's first coming, with his death and resurrection on the cross. Actually, the last days technically began on the day of Pentecost. And we see Peter talking about this in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. According to the Word of God, humanity has been living in the last days for the last 2,000 years. But so many people just are unaware. Here's what happened on the day of Pentecost. This incredible outpouring. Peter gets up and he preaches in response to what God begins to do. This miraculous outpouring. Incredible things are happening. Peter gets up and he begins to preach his first great sermon. Thousands get saved. But in this sermon, he explains what is happening. He explains the age that humanity was entering. Here's what he says then in Acts chapter 2 to explain to the people then about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that they were witnessing firsthand. What Peter actually does, he quotes a prophecy or a promise that was spoken by the prophet Joel millennia before then. Here's what he says, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels, and your young men shall see visions, be divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. Peter says, in the last days, the sign of the last days will be an outpouring of the Spirit. What Peter was saying in this moment was explaining, you say, hey guys, what's happening? Humanity has shifted into a new era, into a new age called the last days. The last days, the last days. And he begins to explain that. Then Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, goes a little bit further than Peter in explaining. And he uses the word last. In the last days, and the word last days, the word last there means is the Greek word eschatos. Eschatos is where we get the word eschatology, the study of end time events, the doctrine of the end time events. And the word literally means to paint a picture. The word that Paul uses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in the last days, means to paint a picture of something that is final. For example, a final exam that concludes a semester, right? Or the last port of call for a ship that concludes its journey, or the last day in a year, or the last week in a month, or the last call for food and drinks at a restaurant that is shutting down for the night. Last, it means, it points to a final moment. The word eschatos was used by ancient Greeks to describe the point that was furthest away. Here's why this is important. Paul uses this word to paint a picture of the very last days of a long season. I think, and many biblical scholars agree, that Paul was speaking prophetically about the period of time that we're living in now. Here's what Paul was doing. In this pivotal verse and in the passages that follow, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was painting, forecasting clearly the characteristics, listen to me, that would emerge in society, in the world, at the end of the age. In no uncertain terms, the Holy Spirit said that dangerous, perilous, difficult, stressful, hard to deal with times would come, and these disastrous developments would become more prominent and commonplace in a world gone crazy. Again, here's the thought. Don't be scared. Just be prepared. You know, it's easy to look at, sometimes when we look at prophetic events in the Bible or look at what's happening in our world, it's easy to get scared. But the reason God, listen, here's what I mean. Don't be scared. Just be prepared. Here's the thought. God, and I pray you write this down. Doesn't tell us these things to scare us. He tells them to us to prepare us, because he wants us to know. Come on, our Father is good. Come on, our Father is good. He's loving and kind. He never plans for his children to be ignorant or be unaware of what he's thinking or what he's doing. He invites us in. Come on, like a father does for his sons and daughters. He invites us in. This is the good news. This is the good news that's in the gospel, in the word of God, that we are not outsiders wondering what God is up to. We're insiders. We're in the family. And God is eager and willing and desiring to let us in and whisper and encourage and help us dream, help us see what he sees. God doesn't tell us these things to scare us. He tells us these things to prepare us. When Paul is telling Timothy to understand this, dangerous times will come, perilous times will come, difficult. He's not telling him to, he's telling him to get ready. Get ready. In the midst of this difficulty, there will be great opportunity to preach the gospel, to shine God's light, to show God's love to a nation, to a people who are crying out to him, who desperately need him. God doesn't tell us these things to scare us. He tells us these things to prepare us. The Holy Spirit in this scripture is warning those of us who are living through this age about these things to come, so that we will be prepared and not taken off guard. Again, I want to stress this, that the Holy Spirit doesn't give us this prophetic and strategic insight to scare us, but rather he gives it to us to prepare us so that we can be redemptively relevant to the world that we live in and live as victorious people, victorious believers until Jesus comes again. Here's the good news. And come on, the gospel in any way you look at it is full of good news. Here's the good news. Because God has told us what's to come, and because God has painted a picture of what is happening now, we can also know through the same word what to do to reinforce our lives so we can live in victory. God's desire through 2 Timothy chapter 3 is to prepare you and I to live through and live in this strategic season. So I want to give one application. What do we do in response to the dangers that Paul predicted and what Paul prophesied that are actually unfolding around us? I want to answer the question, what was Paul wanting Timothy to do? What does God want us to do? And it's just one thought that I want to unpack for a few minutes this morning. It's this: keep your head on straight. Pastor, what do you mean, keep your head on straight? Remember, Paul told Timothy, understand this. You know, he's appealing to his thinking, his perspective, come on, his view of life. He's saying, Timothy, I don't want you to be scared, but I need you to be prepared. So the application today is this: keep, as we look at what's happening in our world through the lens of what the Bible says and what the Bible prophesies about life at the end of the age. Come on, let's keep our head on straight. What I mean is, whoever, and why this is important, whoever or whatever controls a person's mind ultimately has power to dictate the affairs and the outcomes of that person's life. Let me say it again. Whoever or whatever controls a person's mind ultimately has power over your life. If you give in to fear, if you give in to worry and anxiety, come on, what you're actually doing is giving the enemy influence over the direction and the course of your life and your future. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He writes this: now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Well, what was Paul telling the Thessalonians? Don't be scared. Just be prepared. What was Paul telling them? Keep your head on straight. It's clear from this verse that Christians in Thessalonica were shaken, were anxious, were worried and troubled about future events surrounding the very last days of the last days. And Paul says, listen, calm down. He writes to them and he says, calm down. He writes to assure them that being panicked and being worrisome and being afraid or being anxious is not the right response to any questions that they had about the end time events. Instead, we see in the Word of God that we must build a wall of faith around our minds so we can live victoriously and not be brought down by events in our world. And to do this, we must have an accurate understanding or biblical perspective of what's happening. Come on, keep your head. Can I challenge you? Keep your head on straight and don't be confused by what's happening. Come on, what's that they say? Don't get it twisted. Keep your head on straight. Come on, can I encourage you this morning that God is still, no matter what happens out there, God, and this is what God, Paul was getting to Timothy about, God is still good. God still loves you. God is still in control. God still has a plan. God still has a good plan. And you and I are still part of God's plan for this world. Paul was saying to Timothy, Paul was saying to the church in Thessalonica, relax. God is in control. Sometimes it may not look or feel that way, but he is. Keep your head on straight and don't be afraid. Come on, don't be afraid. Number one, keep your head on straight. Don't be confused about God's plan or God's love or God's intention to do good in and through your life. Number two, don't keep your head on straight. Don't give in to fear. Remember What I mean, remember that we're called to live in this world. We are God's plan. We are God's response to the evil. I pray you hear me. We are God's response to the evil unfolding in our world today. Let me show you this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Paul writes and says, "Do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God, the plan and the will of God, so that you may prove yourself to be blameless, guileless, innocent, uncontaminated children of God without blemish in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation, among whom," here's the clincher, "among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacons shining clearly in the world." Come on, can I tell somebody, the deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. Come on, light is most effective and most needed when the darkness is at its peak, is at its deepest. Come on, keep your head on straight. Don't be afraid. Remember, we are called to it. We are God's plan. I love what the writer says in Proverbs 28, verse 1. He says, "Guilty criminals experience paranoia, even though no one threatens them. But the innocent lovers of God, because of righteousness, will have the boldness of a young, ferocious lion." Come on, what's happening? If we are aware and understand what's happening, understanding will breed boldness. Come on, like, what's happening? Hey, what's happening? I'm not caught by surprise. I know this was to come. God's word already shows me this. It produces, it acts as a catalyst to bold living. This is what Paul was getting at with Timothy. Listen, the reason why God is showing us this is so that we won't be scared. But in the opposite, we will become bolder. Can I challenge you? Now is the time to live as boldly as you can, to boldly declare your faith in Jesus, to pray big and bold prayers, to let the whole world know who it is you believe and why it is you believe in this King called Jesus. Come on, somebody. Keep your head on straight. Come on, somebody. Don't be afraid of it. Remember, we are called to it and we are God's plan for it. Here's the last thought this morning, or whenever you're watching this. Keep your head on straight and don't ignore what's happening around us. We may not like this part of the Bible. We may not even want to believe that it's true, but we can't deny that it definitely seems like what Paul is prophesying about is actually playing out in our generation, right in front of our eyes. So we can't afford to bury our heads in the sands of culture and ignore what God says he wants us to understand and what God says he wants us to do. Can I challenge you today in closing? Man, don't sit on the sidelines. Paul, when he said understand this, he was calling Timothy to engage. He was calling Timothy to live with a sense of urgency. Come on, keep your head on straight. But don't ignore what's happening around it. In fact, what I mean by that is be informed by it. Come on, let it spur on your faith. Let it inform how you live. Let it shape your decisions in this world that we're in. I want to end with this verse, this story of Esther. Last month in January, as a church, we soaked through the book of Esther, and it was incredible. Can I encourage you? In a couple of weeks, we're going to be relaunching our T groups. Jump into a soap group. I mean, go through, study the word of God with people, with community. It's an incredible, incredible thing. Esther chapter 4, the story of Esther is incredible. It's this young woman who was put into a position of power and authority. She was this young peasant girl who was beautiful, and God positioned her. She became the queen of Persia. She was married to the most powerful person in the known world at the time. And God positioned her at a time when great evil was being planned and plotted against God's people. And she was thrust into the spotlight. But her first response was to ignore, was to bury her head in the sand. Her first response was to just sit on the sidelines and mind her business and focus on her own life and focus on her career and her kids. Like so many of us, and I think this is where so many of us, where it's real. Come on, we focus on self, an overwhelming sense of self-preservation. I gotta get my blessing and I gotta protect me and mine. But it's the wrong way to approach life in difficulty. Let me show you. Esther's uncle approaches her and he gives her a word that corrects her and acts as a catalyst that propels her into a life of significance. Look at what he says. He says, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from elsewhere." God will do what God wants to do. Come on, come on. That's why I say Jesus is undefeated. It's our privilege to cooperate with God. And if we'll do that, come on, if we'll do that, the blessings of God will flow in our lives. He said, if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from elsewhere, but you and your father's house will perish. And I pray you hear God speaking to you this last part. And who knows, but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. Here's what I'm getting at. It's always been God's will to use his people to speak against and speak to and shine light into the darkness and the evil of their generation. God wants to use us. It's our privilege to be used by God. Can I challenge us this morning? Today, man, to embrace our call, Philippians, to shine as lights, bright lights out into the world. God wants to use us. We are born to take the words of Esther for such a time as this. Here's the thing. God spoke to the Apostle Paul long ago to enlighten the eyes of those of us who profess Christ and to help us understand what the world environment would be like in the concluding moments of the age. This knowledge is intended to help believers, you and I, recognize the time in which we live so we can live soberly and with eternity in view. What I mean is God wants us to be alert and awake into this reality, especially the truth that God wants to use us to shine his light into a dark world. Come on, I want to just end with this. Preview of what's coming next. Here's what God says will happen when we listen to his prophetic word and do what he says. He says, we will, number one, shine as lights in a world growing darker. Come on. Number two, we will build a hedge of protection around our lives and our families. Come on, that's big. Number three, we will be able to teach our children and our grandkids the word of God so that while they live in this world, they will not be negatively affected by it. Number four, we will stay unaffected by the changing moral landscape in our society around us. And number five, we will be protected and safeguarded from evil by the word that we have, that we store in our hearts. Come on, somebody. Survival guide. I'm excited for this series. I'm excited to see what God will do. Can I challenge us today? Let's keep our heads on straight. Let's not be confused. Let's keep our heads on straight. Let's not be afraid. Let's keep our heads on straight. And let's not ignore what's happening around us. Come on, let's pray. And then we worship God together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this grace. For opening our eyes, not in fear, but to build our faith, to let us know that you are still in control. Father, we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God, guys.
This has been a podcast of Transform Church Philly. New episodes are produced every week, so check back often. You can find details about services and other upcoming events by visiting us at our website, transformphilly.church. Have a great day.